genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day live, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. It's smart conversation with the best guests in America. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you'll want to keep that number handy because we have some giveaways in our third segment today. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is a riddle. What do Social Security, unintended consequences, and toys have to do with one another? They're all topics that my guests are going to discuss on today's show. My first guest writes about one of my favorite subjects, unintended consequences. He looks at the interconnections between things and ideas and shows the interconnections between them. We'll discuss his latest book, Best Laid Plans. My second guest is an authority on private pensions and Social Security. She was Alan Greenspan's assistant back in 1983 when he worked on the Social Security amendments. We'll discuss the battle for Social Security and her almost painless plan for putting the program back on track. My third guest has had an idea for a game rundown. He's run a toy company, and did that deter him? No. He went on to produce one of the best-selling games in America. We'll discuss the toy and game industry in the United States and have him give us some of the history behind many of our favorite toys. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. William Sheridan is an adjunct professor at Brandeis University International Business School. Prior to that, he spent most of his career as a management consultant working with major international companies. Bill has published three books, Marketing, Ownership, and The Fortune Sellers, which and number one best-selling book. He was also written a column for the New York Times and Wall Street Journal. Bill's latest book is titled The Best Laid Plans, and that explores the unintentional consequences of business decisions. Bill holds an MBA from Stanford University Business School and a BS from Georgia Tech. He's a member of Tau Beta Phi and other science and engineering honorary societies. Bill and his wife live in Boston, Massachusetts. Welcome to the show, Bill. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm very well, thanks.
Well, glad to have you on the show. And this, as I said at the outset, is one of my favorite subjects, unintended consequences. In fact, if you plug in the phrase unintended consequences into Google, you get back over 2 million pages citing the unexpected impacts of government policies, new technologies, management decisions, all kinds of stuff. Unfortunately, unintended consequences are becoming increasingly problematic as our world becomes more globally and electronically interconnected. And the results of these decisions really resonate across the globe. So just to give an example for my listeners, this is one that happened just recently over the winter here in the United States. As you know, Congress passed a bill to prevent airlines from trapping passengers on an airplane stuck on a runway for more than 3 hours. The Federal Airline Avionics Association fines, I think it's $25,000 per passenger if a plane sits for more than 3 hours. And on the surface, that sounds like a good thing. It's going to protect us as consumers. If we're flying on an airplane, we're not stuck there without water and bathrooms. However, this winter, with the winter storms, airlines realized that loading a plane, de-icing it, and having it sit on the runway was probably going to exceed the 3-hour limit set by Congress. So rather than risk the fines, they canceled a record number of flights. So instead of inconveniencing the 120 to 150 people sitting on the airplane, canceling the flight has a compound effect because it cancels other flights farther down the line and so forth and so on. So thousands of people get inconvenienced rather than just the 150 sitting on the airplane. Your book is filled with over 60 examples, Bill, of unintended consequences. So let's start with the well-known example of how U.S. military aid to a covert operation in a remote corner of the globe brought us to the tragedy of 9/11.
Well, that's a great, great example. And it's also an example of one of the more subtle aspects of the complexity of life, which is emergence, or the coming into being of new phenomena once you set the context right. In this case, the context was our arming of the Mujahideen in Afghanistan to fight the Soviet Union. And we gave them all sorts of training and advanced weapons and ended up with like surface-to-air missiles, and they were actually able to shoot down the helicopters and eventually win that war. And that sounded like a great, great event, and everybody was happy. I guess it ended around 89. But those folks, many of them are from foreign countries, and particularly the Arab countries, they stayed behind. They had families and kind of grew up and stayed in that kind of tribal area between Afghanistan and Pakistan. And with their training and with their kind of victory spirit, they kind of morphed into Al-Qaeda. And so that's from 89 to all the way to 2001. Well, it was a couple years before that. They attacked in Africa, and they attacked the coal, and finally they attacked the Trade Center and the Pentagon in 2001. It was the same group of folks that Al-Qaeda grew out of our seemingly generous efforts to help them fight the Soviet Union.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things about this, Bill, is that two sides of the same coin. If you talk to an American and you ask him, you know, did Ronald Reagan help end the Cold War, people will say, yes, he helped bring down the wall in Berlin. He helped defeat the Soviet Union. Same side of, or different side of the same coin. If you went to, and you could find him, Osama bin Laden, and you asked him the same question, Osama bin Laden is on record as saying he helped bring down the Soviet Union because of the victories in Afghanistan. It's funny how those unintended consequences work.
Yep. Yeah. Probably there's some linkage there, probably.
Oh, there definitely is. Well, let's stay on the subject of war and discuss a really vicious cycle that we're going through right now in the war in Iraq, and that is reinforcing Humvees to protect them against IEDs, and how that's actually, it sounds on the surface like a good thing, but that's actually led to more soldiers' deaths because of the reinforcement. Tell us how that works.
Well, it's the chapter that this is contained is called The Vicious Cycle, and it's about positive feedback. In the simplest incident would be sort of an argument. It starts off with a small argument that kind of mushrooms by reciprocation between two people into a vicious argument. And that dynamic underlies wars, trade wars, arms races, and so forth. And the Humvee example is a miniature example of an arms race, where the Humvee was set up to quickly transport people through battlefields, not really a battlefield vehicle itself. It's lightly lightly armored for speed and maneuverability, and then the rebels in Iraq started using improvised explosive devices and made from all sorts of leftover munitions, and they put them alongside the road, and it would blow up these Humvees, and it severely killed the people or injured them in the, on the road. And so the U.S. government, there was a lot of calls, said, well, let's reinforce them with more steel, and they got heavier. Then the rebels got better weapons, and so they became this recycling, vicious cycle of heavy, more armed to the Humvee, bigger weapons for the rebels, to the point where the rebels could essentially blow up Bradley fighting machines. There's nothing that couldn't get in their way. And meanwhile, the Humvee got so heavy that it became hard to, became slower and hard to maneuver, and some of the soldiers got trapped inside the doors, heavily armed doors. So it was just this never-ending cycle of, spy versus spy, or, arms race type thing.
That's a very sad story. We're talking to Bill Sheridan, everybody, author of the book, Best Laid Plans, The Tyranny of Unintended Consequences and How to Avoid Them. Now, Bill, I'm going to throw one at you, which is not necessarily in your book, but I want you to connect the dots for my listeners. And that is, how did U.S. policy to convert corn into ethanol plus quantitative easing 2 result in the riots that we had just recently in Egypt?
What's the second part?
Quantitative easing 2, the federal government pumping $700 billion into the economy.
Well, let me comment on the first one, ethanol. The ethanol plan on surface seems great. We want to get rid of our dependence on foreign oil. So the idea of growing our own renewable energy source in the form of corn, which gets fermented into ethanol, seemed like a great idea. But there's a lot of impacts that are really quite tragic to this. One, obviously, is the high impact on corn prices as you divert more and more corn into making ethanol, the price on the food market goes up. And kind of a ripple effect is that more farmland gets converted to growing corn. So there's a diversion of crops from wheat and soybeans, and so those prices go up. And then the cost of feedstock is going up because the animals are fed on corn and other grains, and those prices go up. Poultry and meat go up. And then there's the United States is known as the Midwest, the breadbasket of the world. We export so much of this grain to particularly poor foreign countries, and other people subsist on, have corn diets or grain diets, and their cost of living has gone through the roof. And this has actually caused riots in places like Mexico where the price has gone too high.
Right, and Mexico so dependent on corn for tortillas. The add-on, to that bill is quantitative easing 2. Not only were prices of corn and grains going up as a result of that, but quantitative easing 2 kept interest rates really low, made the dollar stronger, and therefore devalued the money in countries like Egypt and Libya. So not only were there was there inflation in the price of the commodities that they were buying, but the value of their money was less and less. So it led to a real devaluation, and people were not able to buy the commodities
buy it,
that they
needed. Right. Yeah, it's a double whammy.
It was a double whammy. That's exactly right. We're talking to Bill Sheridan. Everybody, we're talking about unintended consequences. One of my favorites, and this has actually worked out pretty well living in America, is what you call a bandwagon effect. And the bandwagon effect has actually led English to become the world's first lingua franca. Explain how that works.
Okay. The bandwagon effect is an extension of what I talked about before, this vicious cycle, which can be good and can be bad. So you can have a vicious cycle that's a downward spiral or a positive cycle that, you know, success breeds success. In the case of the bandwagon factor, it's really a case of success brings success to excess. So, in other words, the process of the rich getting richer, or, you know, the stronger candidate getting stronger and stronger and stronger to the point where one party prevails and it's an all-out win. There's a winner and there's a loser. And often that's not the case. Often things will balance themselves out or people pick up the pieces and come back. And the lock-in case, the bandwagon effect, where that comes into play, you'll have one winner. As you saw this in a couple cases in the battle between Apple and, let's say, Microsoft, the IBM-Microsoft platform, Apple's come back from that, but there was a time when Apple's share dropped to almost nothing because they lost out and the whole world became locked in on the Microsoft
The operating system.
Now, the thing with English language, now, English is not necessarily a language you would expect to be so dominant, given its, you know, irregular verbs and all that, but there's a bunch of strange events that have occurred, starting with the British Empire. So, they said, sun never sets on the British Empire. So, English is spoken all around the world in places where they had colonies. The second factor that came out of that is the rise of American commerce and our global commerce, and the fact that we dominated that after World War II so well. So English became sort of the business language for global commerce. And then on top of that, you've got the media. We talk about, you know, any sort of movies, radio songs, largely an American factor. And most movies and programs are made in English, and most actors and actresses perform in English. And then on top of that, you've got technology, particularly the internet. Internet is, you know, largely an English language phenomenon, and you got on top of that, you've got science. And it's generally known, I point this out in my book, that if you want to be a published scientist who's known internationally, you can't publish in your native language. Or if you do, you better publish also in English to be heard. So all these things are kind of piling on to the point where we may be at a point where English becomes not the universal first language, but the universal second language for the world.
Without a doubt. We're talking to Bill Sheridan, everybody, author of the book, Best Laid Plans, The Tyranny of Unintended Consequences and How to Avoid Them. So we've talked about many examples of unintended consequences. Bill, in the 2 minutes we've got left, how do we avoid them?
Well, each of my chapters, there's eight phenomena in society, I call them social mechanisms, that cause our world to get complicated and things that kind of trip us up. So I think in each of these areas, if you understood the phenomena, you might be more on the lookout on how to avoid it. For example, when we talked about the vicious cycle and how that's wrapped up in feuds and so forth, the best way there is if you understand that dynamic, you should be well prepared to employ, let's say, diplomacy rather than starting an argument or a feud. And if you get into one, stop it. And people have done been very helpful in doing that in the past. That's one example. In the end of the book, I kind of step back and say, in addition to each of these phenomena, what is sort of some, a major message thinking about this? And my major message is don't try anything real big all at once at the outset. Because you're going to, anything big, a war, a big social program, a change in a corporation, is going to have unintended consequences. And very hard, even if you understand these day things, things are going to happen that are going to be very surprising. So the solution in my mind, besides trying to understand what you're doing in greater depth, is to start small and pilot something and try it. And if it doesn't work, throw it away. And I think a good example would be skywalks have been embraced in a bunch of cities throughout the country and been an absolute disaster for street life, and it actually ruined cities. You know, no more pedestrians on the street, no more stores, high vacancy, high crime. Thing to do is you put a skywalk, try one. If it doesn't work, junk it, throw it away. To go some other direction.
Well, it sounds like very prudent advice. We're talking to Bill Sheridan, everybody. Bill, I would like to know, after doing all this research and amassing all this information, what did you get out of writing the book?
I got a very big, well, actually, that's a very good question. At the very end of the book, I started probing around some research around the rate of failure, and I found it's almost like a universal constant, like a Planck's constant, that major efforts lead to, first efforts are like a 70% failure rate.
Wow.
And that's true with starting a new business after 10 years, they're failed. It's true with organizational changes. There's been many studies over the last 20 years about organizational change, and the 70% failure rate shows up in every one of them. So I think there's a new sense of humility that big effort, you know, your efforts are going to have a high failure rate.
All right. I love the humility. We've been talking to Bill Sheridan, everybody, author of the book, The Best Laid Plans. And Bill, if people want to learn more about you, they like what they hear, maybe they want to learn more about these unintended consequences, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Well, you can go to my website, and the book is pretty well explained. It's williamsheridan.com, S-H-E-R-D-E-N. And I have excerpts from each of the chapters, which is easily accessible. And so if you want to learn a lot about each of these, there's 10 chapters. You get a little bit of a reading excerpts from that. That's the best thing. Book is available currently in Amazon.com.
That's great. Bill, thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.